Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 7, Episode 67, and we're about 48 hours, a little bit more than 48 hours away from, well, actually, yeah, 48, a little bit more than 48 hours away from Steelers-Chiefs Dave at Arrowhead at 1 o'clock, and it doesn't look like it's going to be a pretty day out there. Temperatures around freezing with 90% precipitation. We talked a bit about the weather last week, and it was going to be cold, but actually the weather, not to one team's advantage, I don't think, looks like it may be more of a factor this week.
Boy, it's going to be cold, wet, rain, what else? A little bit of wind. You're going to have all of it all balled up in one. Yeah, the early forecast. Boy, it makes you wonder how many. I mean, do you think all the fans are going to show up at that game? You know, travel advisories and all like that. It might, and I think some tickets are even surfacing very, very cheap right now as well too. So a perfect opportunity if any Steeler fans live out in the Kansas City area to snap you up some playoff tickets and maybe turn the tide a little bit when it comes to that crowd.
Yeah, exactly. I always wonder about these ticket things because, you know, people always talk about how as the week goes on, ticket prices drop. Well, if I'm selling my tickets, I'm going to put them on there for Fantasyland numbers, 7 days in advance to begin with. And it just seems to me that's the common practice. Not 100% of the time, but certainly I guess the weather and the Steeler game played a little bit of a factor, and obviously it's going to play a factor here. Dave, let's get right into it. And obviously the injury report was the big news and nothing good in terms of Ladarius Green and the concussion. That's probably the most prominent thing that came out of the injury report. He didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday. Obviously he is not going to go, and I think it's safe to say pretty straightforward injury report in what the Steelers will have on Sunday. You're not going to have Ricardo Matthews and Anthony Ciccolo. Neither of those guys went on Thursday either. They have had longer term ankle injuries. And, you know, now you would even speculate, you know, if the Steelers were to win, will any of those three guys be able to go next week? But they're all down this week. And it seems like basically everybody else is good to go except the question mark around Fitz Toussaint. And I would assume he with the concussion won't go either, even though he was limited. But Golden is full. Vince Williams was full. Bud Dupree was limited yesterday, but I don't think that's anything big. It's a shin injury. Sean Davis has been full. Bell and Ben were back. So, again, it's not perfect, but it's pretty damn close to ideal in terms of coming into this game.
Boy, I tell you, the people on Twitter are back hounding Ladarius Green again. And look, David and I think talked about this either on Monday or Wednesday. It's very concerning. Yes, at this point that it's going on. What he was injured in the game against the Bengals in Week 15. He missed Week 16, Week 17. He missed a wild card game. You're going on a fourth game that he's going to miss now, and that's obviously a concern. Especially knowing what we knew coming into the season as it relates to him and his concussions. We talked about guys like Cameron Jordan and all, stepping away from the game because of concussions. Is there a chance that Ladarius Green has played his last game in a Steelers uniform? Yeah, I don't think you can rule that out. But, calling the guy soft, and I think one guy on my timeline, David, called him a cream puff.
Yeah, it's just it's not nonsense. It's just nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, let's look. It'll be very, very disappointing if the Steelers sign Ladarius Green. They only got the handful of games out of him, and then he has to retire. Yada yada. I mean, those things happen.
Or they move on. Well, I mean,
Yeah, or they move on. I mean, it'd be very, very disappointing. Will it go down as the worst free agent, you know, signing that the Steelers have ever made? I don't think so. Sean Mahan.
Hey, helped. Hey, look, he has helped them win, you know, four games, and they needed those games to get to where they are. So
yeah
it's not ideal, but he hasn't been a bust.
You know, I would look at it more unfortunate. People say, "Well, Steelers didn't do their homework on you know on him." That's BS. I mean, if you don't think that the Steelers didn't know about his concussion history, which was all over the news, which is very easy to research ahead of them signing him, they knew obviously about the ankle. What you know, do you believe the stuff you know that was written ahead, you know, or you know, once we got into kind of training camp and that kind of stuff, David, where it said, you know, Ladarius Green lied to the Steelers and you know about you know his concussion.
Well, no, issues. I don't believe he lied to the Steelers. I believe that what's unclear and has never been spoken about, and I've had different people tell me different things over the past 48 hours is, you know, how much of Ladarius Green's his being put on the PUP list when the season started, how much of that was related to his ankle injury versus potential concussion issues? I don't have an answer to that, so I'll just leave that one out there. Let me just say this about where he is now. One is, as I said Wednesday, when he's been on the field, he is the player they hoped he would be. Okay, so there's that. Two is, Ladarius Green doesn't get to decide when he plays now. Once he's in protocol, that decision is taken out of his hands. And I saw people on your timeline, Dave, say that he's soft and this kind of stuff. You know, come on, that's ignorant and asinine. You know, to be honest, to throw that stuff out there. And then the larger picture here is, you know, we can talk about, you know, people could say Ladarius Green should retire, whatever. That's not for anybody to say. It's not for me to say, and it's not for anybody else to say. You could say the same thing about Sidney Crosby, and people did when Sidney Crosby missed six games to start this hockey season. Sidney Crosby missed a year, basically, of hockey, and he's back, and he's the best player in the world. And he's also getting paid whatever he's getting paid, $10, $12 million. He loves playing hockey. It's what he does. That to tell Sidney Crosby that he should retire to look out for his own health is just ignorant. And it's the same thing to say that about Ladarius Green. I don't care how skilled Ladarius Green is as an electrical engineer or a scientist or whatever else his great skills may be. He's not going to make $5 million a year doing it. And so if he wants to play football and he is medically cleared to play football, man. And hopefully it's with the Steelers and hopefully it's healthy. You know, whether it's healthy this coming week for New England, which I wouldn't bet a lot of money on, or if it's sometime, you know, when OTAs come around, that would be great. But the whole point would be if Ladarius Green in the Cincinnati game got hit in the knee and tore his knee up and was going to miss, basically he wouldn't miss this season. He'd be, you know, that's a 9 to 12 month recovery. If that happened, you know, in that weekend, he may miss the coming season. Would that be a terrible signing with Ladarius Green? No, you'd say he got injured. That's unlucky. Well, a concussion's the same thing. Yes, if you have a history, if you have had a concussion, you're more susceptible to concussions. But every guy in the NFL just about has had a concussion. I mean, you know, come on. And, you know, this just hasn't worked out perfectly. And the unfortunate thing is, and you know, I'm sure Mike would like to have the words back now, but Mike said at his press conference Tuesday going into Miami before they practiced during the week, things look really good. Everything's right on track. He practiced Wednesday and Thursday. I mean, obviously something happened. And so now when you have 5 days off, and we talked about it, you have 5 days off and you don't practice Wednesday, that's a very bad sign. And then he didn't get to practice Thursday either. Obviously, it would be shocking if he practiced if he practiced today. So you know, he'll have had 10 days off to 10 to 15 days off if the Steelers were to win to get ready for Miami. And if he's not able to go, then you probably assume that, you know, well, I don't know. It's concussion, so let's not assume anything. But it's just been unfortunate, and the narrative around Ladarius Green by a couple people, not most people, but by a couple people that, you know, as you say, Dave, that he's soft or that the Steelers didn't do their homework. No, the guy got an injury just like everything else. And for whatever reason, some people tend to view concussion injuries different than an ankle injury, different than a knee injury, different than whatever. And it's just unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, in today's NFL, you know, it's a very sensitive topic, and players are paying more mind to it when they get a concussion as well. I mean, we've all heard, you know, the stories in the past, and we noted several guys that have retired into their careers way early because of concussions as well too. This is something that you don't play around with, and yes, Kevin Colbert will be criticized if this doesn't end up working out well for the Steelers, and you move on. You know, it's a chance you take when you sign somebody like that with a concussion sort of history that he had. So the rest of the injury report there, as you mentioned, yeah, looking good for Sean Davis. Robert Golden looks like he'll be on the field for the first time in a couple of games. Vince Williams did not miss any time with that shoulder injury. I expect him to go again as well too. Tuitt, you know, dealing with an ankle injury after dealing with a sprained knee. You know, he's going to be fine as well too. I guess your inactives at this point are looking like Ladarius Green, Chickalo, Ricardo Matthews, Toussaint,
Mettenberger Mihalik,
and
we'll have to
root around and see what else we can get for a seventh one there. You know,
do you think it's Shabazz with Gilbert likely being up? Would it be the extra corner?
I suppose it could be. I don't think it's going to be another linebacker, right?
Right, and it won't be Coates.
You got Golden back, so he's your special teams captain.
Candidates are Dangerfield, Shabazz, Ayers.
It won't be Dangerfield because he's on the punt. He's on the punt coverage team. So.
Yeah. Well, so Ayers, Shabazz. I don't think it'll be Ayers.
I think it might be. Might be Shabazz. I'll have to look at the list here in a little bit. I haven't even got to that portion of my week yet. But
We never talk about our boy LJ Ford anymore.
Well, you know, he's another one, and that's the direction I'm going to go right now, is with the punt coverage team. I went back throughout the season and went game by game looking at who was on the punt team, you know, punt coverage team. And, of course, the reason we're talking about this so much is that guy Tyreek Hill. I'm scared to death of that kid this week. I got to admit, the more I watch him, the most scared I get. And everybody remembers the game against the Steelers the last time around. The numbers dictate that the Steelers did a relatively good job on him, but a lot of people forget that he returned a punt, one that was angled toward the sideline even. A nice punt, I thought, that he returned 70-something yards to the house for a touchdown that luckily wound up being called back on a block in the back penalty, which just so happened to be on LJ Fort, which, by the way, that block in the back really, in my opinion, didn't make a damn bit of difference to that play. He was bringing that thing back anyway. But going back to looking at the punt coverage team. Did I just say a bad word there? I may have. The punt coverage team. We have a chance to see perhaps the best punt coverage team unit the Steelers have to offer this week, David. I mean, you got, I'll have to look at my numbers here, but you got Golden coming back. You got out on the edges. You have Darius Heyward-Bey, Sammy Coates, your interior guys, Nix, Dangerfield's on one wing. I'm trying to remember who else is Nix and Dangerfield on the wings. Greg Warden obviously snapping, and then you have Matakavich. LJ Fort will once again replace Anthony Chickalo, and then you'll have a guy like I'm guessing you'll have Arthur Motes in there, Vince Williams. You're up back, of course, Robert Golden and your punter, Jordan Berry. So outside of not having Chickalo, you know, for this one, this might be the best that you have to offer on punt coverage team.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, diagnosing punt coverage skills for most of us is a you know, fool's errand in terms of guys are going down there, you get blocked one way, you don't hold your lane, you see something that you shouldn't have, or you see something that you do that causes you to make a play or miss a play. I mean, they're tough things. It's not like having man coverage on the outside on a receiver in terms of being one-on-one, and it's easy to judge what went right and what went wrong. I mean, Tyreek Hill, he is an unbelievable talent. And he's the fastest guy in the field. He might be the fastest guy in football. And Jordan Berry's going to punt away from him. And I'll tell you what, Mike talked about it. I asked him, you know, how do you do it? And he said very thoughtfully, and he went on to talk about, you know, the mistakes they made kicking the ball out of bounds on kickoffs and the fact that Hill did take one out of bounds, even though they directionally punted to him. So, you know, maybe you do kick it 5 yards shorter and kick it out of bounds, or – you know, you just say to Jordan Berry, even if you're punting from your own 30, look, we want extra hang time on this. You know, kick it in the middle of the field, extra hang time. I don't care if it goes 35 yards. We want a fair catch. So it'll be interesting to see in both disciplines, kicking off and punting, how they handle it, because the squib kick thing hasn't worked for them. I mean, whatever they want to say, it's been, you know, 3 or 4 games we've seen them squib kick in the last month. And all the squib kicks are fielded seemingly on a big bounce around the 20, and they get out to the 35. So that's been a disaster. So I'm curious to watch. You know, we'll just see how it goes.
Well, you know, after saying all that about the punt coverage team, I still don't punt to him.
Yeah, right.
He cannot – there is absolutely zero chance he can take one to the house on you if he can't field it. I mean, well, you know, I'm fairly certain of that. And, you know, look, this, in my opinion, is going to be a very, very field possession type of game. We know the Chiefs offense really isn't that high powered. They're more in line to, okay, you know, if we face a 3rd and 15 or 3rd and 7, throw short of the chains, not turn the football over, we're going to punt it to you and see if you make a mistake. That's the kind of mentality that they really have. They really are dependent on maybe you making a mistake on your end of the field as opposed to them making a mistake on their end of the field. So, man, it will be absolutely unfortunate if we are talking on Monday about, man, Tyreek Hill killed him on special teams. I mean, it'll be very, very unfortunate, and it'll probably end up costing Danny Smith his job as well. No way I kicked him. Now, kickoffs, look, I don't know what, you know, it's going to be like kicking a frozen rock out there Sunday. So, you know, that's the thing.
It won't be worse than this past week. I mean, it's going to be 15 degrees warmer, and at times we saw Boswell kick it, you know, to the back of the end zone. So I wouldn't think that would be too much of a distance. I don't think distance will be too much of a problem.
Well, there is. Well, if that's
the case, but if you're right, if there's wind and it's raining, that's obviously going to impact it to some degree.
Right, and the cold too. I mean, the you know, it just doesn't travel. You know, look, both these punters, I mean, punter and Boswell should get players of the game if they stars of the game if they're able to keep the football out of Tyreek Hill's hands. Plain and simple. I still worry about it, though.
Sure, it's something to worry about. Let's talk about the other side. Well, you know, I'm going to get my wish. We're going to get our wish. I'm going to certainly get my wish. It looks like with Justin Gilbert back there with Sammy Coates, according to Mike Pursuta, in practice, he talked to Gilbert after practice, and he said, "I've been working back there. If it doesn't go, you know, I expect to be the guy." Look, Justin Gilbert has the Oklahoma State, you know, kick. He returned it 102 times at Oklahoma State. He's got the career average record. By the way, Tyreek Hill went to Oklahoma State right after him before he got kicked out of school. He was there. He was the returner afterward. You've got he averaged, you know, 27 yards a return or around that last year for only 12 returns. But, you know, look, guys are only getting 12 returns a year now. That's what, you know, Toussaint's at something like 15 and nobody else on the Steelers has 12 this year. So his historical numbers are significantly better than anything the Steelers have done. Okay, now he's going to get his chance. Was this you, Dave, who put this up there, or was it somebody else? I thought it was a very interesting stat of the 10 guys who have returned. Mike Tomlin, basically, of the 28 guys who have returned kicks for the Steelers in the Mike Tomlin era and have had 10 or more returns, I think the number was, only one has ever been a defensive player, and that was Alan Rossum in Mike Tomlin's first year. I didn't know that stat, Dave. I don't know if you were aware of it either. That was new news to me. And I don't think that's, you know, when it's 27, if it's 5 out of 6, you can say coincidence, small sample size. If it's 27 out of 28, I mean, you know, obviously things lean toward offensive guys, but 27 out of, I mean, maybe it's still coincidence. I don't know. Maybe listeners can chime in on that. But it's more than a trend, Dave. It's a thing. And I wonder if that's why, one of the reasons why Gilbert hasn't gotten much of a chance.
Well, I mean, let's be realistic, though. How many defensive backs how many defensive players around the league return punts or kickoffs?
Right. And not a ton. I mean, it's probably a handful, right?
Right. I mean, you can obviously, the first name that comes to mind is Patrick Peterson in Arizona, right?
Yep.
I don't read too much into that, but
not into the overall stat, but do you think that has influenced Mike Tomlin's thinking?
If it does, it's a shame.
Ah, I agree. Good answer. Good answer. That's the perfect answer.
Because, and I don't know if it does, but I mean, you put the best people in the best. What is it? Put the best people in the best situation to help the football team. And if he's your best guy, it shouldn't matter if he's 4'7", right? I mean, if he can do the job, he can do the job. And you know, that's really my only contribution, I think, on that. Hey, here's the thing. look, we're both absolutely ecstatic that he's going to be back there doing it. Let's hope he's not back there doing it a lot.
Yeah, right. If he does it twice, twice and only twice, that'd be perfect.
Right. In fact, ideally, you want him to do it once, whether it be opening kickoff or second half kickoff. Unfortunately, he's probably going to have to do it more than that. How great would it be if after the game we're talking, well, it wasn't Tyreek Hill that killed the Chiefs. It was Justin Gilbert. If we are talking that, it probably means that he did have to return more than one kickoff. So
I'll do something. I don't know if I'll jump around the river or dance, you know, jump in the river naked or dance around the apartment complex. But yeah, if Justin Gilbert takes one back,
I think if he takes one past the 50, you should have to
do. Right. Right.
You should have to do any or all of the above there. But yeah, you know, keep your fingers crossed. You know, wet, rainy, you know, just pray for no turnovers. Maybe the couple opportunities he can get that ball back, you know, past the 35 would be huge.
So let's get into some of the X's and O's and some predictions about the game. One is if the Steelers win the toss, Dave, by the way, and I wrote this in my quick thoughts, it was the best thing in the world for the Steelers not to win the toss last week, I thought, because I assume Mike would have deferred. It has been his approach this year his go-to move as opposed to years past when he took the ball. So I thought Miami deferring, although I don't know whether it was a good or bad decision for them. I know it was a good decision for the Steelers, and obviously turned out that way. If Mike Tomlin wins the toss, what will he do? What should he do?
Man, if you don't put the Chiefs offense on the field first in this game, something's wrong with you.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's what he will do. I think, particularly if there's a weather issue, I think whoever wins the toss will defer in this one.
And why wouldn't you? I mean, they're the home team. Their crowd's going to be amped up early. The icy. I mean, You want to put your defense in. You want the Steelers' offense to have to, and they'll probably be backed up at their own 22-yard line or something along like that.
Let's hope, right? Yeah, I mean, we just talked about it.
Yeah, or better. Alex Smith. I want to see that Chiefs offense out on the field first. Either way, that's my thoughts on it.
Let me a couple things before we forget. Steeler fans, you've heard me for the last couple months during the season talking about mortgage rates being near or at all-time lows. And if you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, purchase a vacation home, or just refinance, you can contact our buddy Craig Oxane from First Advantage Mortgage. A lifelong Steeler fan, a Pittsburgh native, Craig's a nationally recognized lender that would love the opportunity to help out podcast listeners. You can call Craig today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. Email Craig at craig@blackandgoldlending.com or apply online www.blackandgoldlending.com. Company NMLS 2551, NMLS 3203399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. And Craig, you'll be pleased to know I've had a couple listeners say they almost have the ad down memorized by heart. They hear it in their sleep. So effective advertising. So hopefully. Dave, before we get further into the game, the news came out this morning. It came out last night that the city police were going to drop all but the basically drunk and disorderly charges with Joey. And Art Rooney released a statement this morning saying the Steelers are going to reinstate him effective immediately. So I expect him to be at practice today, obviously travel with the team, and be on the sidelines Sunday. Good move. Surprised? Any response?
I'm a little surprised. Plain and simple.
I agree.
It was good to see. He got a couple of the charges reduced and all like that. I don't know where else I can go with this. I'm a little bit surprised he's back by this weekend.
Yeah, I don't think there's anywhere much to go. I would have thought there were two things they might do. One is wait until Saturday morning and release exactly the same statement so that there was no media interaction and no players had to answer questions. And, you could just deal with it after the game. And after the game, obviously, you have the game to talk about, so it wouldn't be an issue. Or they would do it on Monday going into Pats week and just get it out of the way then. So I was a little surprised just because, as you pointed out earlier in the week, it can be a distraction. So this might be a tad distraction today. Do I think it has any impact on the game? No, I don't think it has any impact. So, but, there it is. And the Steelers have – it's not the Steelers have – reinstated him and said, okay, we're done with this. They are waiting to hear how the charges play out, and then they will revisit it with the NFL as to what discipline should be imposed.
Yeah, after the investigation by the Allegheny District Attorney and, coming out and saying that, a few of those charges have been dropped, I reckon that I think there was that the body camera and all like that. And, we'll see. It won't, from this point forward, nobody, none of the media are probably going to ask the players about it and so forth and so on. So, it's not like he's the defensive coordinator. We're talking about a position coach here. So hopefully it shouldn't, make a difference moving forward, and shouldn't.
Okay. So, talked about the kickoff. Now, just here's a little fun fact for you. And Alex Smith has played in 5 playoff games. He's only 2-3. One of those losses was that crazy game that you referenced the other day where they had a huge lead on the Colts at halftime and ended up losing. I don't know if the final score was 35-34 or whatever it was. But Alex Smith has played in 5 playoff games, Dave, and his offense has scored 30 or more points 3 times. I wouldn't have bet on that, put it that way.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And look, they've scored, they put up some points this season as well too, right? I mean, we talk about a guy like Alex Smith that a conservative natured West Coast quarterback that doesn't throw deep a lot, and believe it or not, he only has something like, what is it, 25 or 26 deep pass completions this year. That's super, super low. They put up 33 on the Chiefs. They put 24 on the Jets. They put 26, 27, 30 points up on the Raiders, Saints, and Colts. they can score points, and you know, it'll be interesting to see. One thing I forgot to look at before we got on the show is how many points off of turnovers their offense has had this season. I bet that's quite high so far this season, because you know, like you know, they don't make a lot of mistakes on offense. They led the league in takeaways, right? So you would have to think that they scored a lot of putos, as I like to say, off of that. And let's see, here it is right now. Takeaway points, 105, if I'm reading this correctly. 105 takeaway points. Only the Denver Broncos had more, 117. So there you go. And their giveaway points this year were 55. So net turnover points were positive 50, and that was good for fourth in the league. The Steelers had 71 points off of turnovers, 58 points off of giveaway, for a plus of 13. So, you know, that you can't help that offense out, right? I mean, if you give them the football on their side of the, you know, on your side of the 50, they're probably going to do something with it.
Fair enough. I mean, the results are there for those guys. They've got, what is it? Eight return TDs, five by the defense. So I guess it was Keith talking about it yesterday. And it's a lot of points, 56 points. And 35 by the defense themselves. That's over the course of a season. You know, that's a touchdown every three games, and they're dangerous. Look, they have guys who are big play guys in that secondary for sure. Eric Berry Marcus Peters are what, Dave? Were they both first team All Pro, or they both made All Pro? Deservedly so. And that's, you know, look, one of the things about in the secondary, how do you rank guys? One is, can you shut guys down? But two is, can you catch the damn ball? And are you a big playmaker? And that's what, you know, that's what Ed and Troy were. They were elite players across the board, but that gets you recognized. And Peters and from the day Peters entered the league, and Barry, you know, we've seen what he's done this year on his second year back from, you know, battling cancer. They've been extraordinarily good. And that'll be the challenge for Ben, to keep the ball away from those guys. And as we know, the first pass of the game to Sammy Coates down that right sideline, he challenged him. He challenged Peters in the first matchup. It'll be interesting to see how they attack this time, because Peters is not a guy who goes from side to side. He'll be on the Steelers' right side, the Chiefs' left side the whole time. And we know Antonio generally plays on the opposite side, plays on the Steelers' left side. Not all the time, always, but obviously more often than he plays on the right. So they can dictate, you know, who they want against him.
When you look at the Chiefs and their defensive scoring this year, Eric Berry has 14 points for them.
When you say 14, that includes that 2-point conversion, right? I mean, it's literally 14, not. It's a 6-6-2, right?
Right. It is 6-6-2. It is 14 points that he has scored this year. Two TDs and a point after for him. Sorensen, safety for them, I believe, has a touchdown. Poe has one. Johnson had one earlier in the season for him as well too. So what's that? 14, 20. 26, 32 points their defense has scored. That's a game's worth of points, right?
Yeah, sure.
How many points does the Steelers defense have this year? Trivia question.
I think six, right? Javon Hargrave?
Yes.
Hargrave recovering the fumble in the end zone against Cleveland in that 24-9 victory to give him that last touchdown to make it a two-score game, which everybody, you know, with 4 minutes left, which everybody was, you know, semi-panicked about.
That is it for the Steelers as far as scoring defense.
Now, I will say, scoring defense, you want to pick a game out where the defense made the difference, was the Kansas City game. They get the strip fumble and then the Jarvis Jones interception. you know, Tua gets his hand in. I think it was Tua on that handoff on the first play the Chiefs run. And then a possession or two later, the ball gets tipped and Jarvis gets his interception and the Steelers are in business in Chiefs territory. And Dave, you know, I'm guessing you don't have this off the top of your head. I certainly don't. How many drives do you think the Steelers took over in the other team's half of the field because of a turnover? That's two. I'm sure it's not more than five. I'm not even sure it's four. Or I'm trying to remember another one.
Well, it's not very high. It seems like we talk about it every year. How the Steelers just the offense never gets chances to start. You know, whether it be special teams, whether it be whatever. You know, they don't get opportunities to start very often on the opposing side of the field. Oh, I'm trying. I can find that number for you very quickly. It's just going to take, 5 minutes of researching it, but it's probably not very high at all.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, one of the things about the Miami game, and you and I both wrote about it and talked about it on the Friday before, is Steelers pretty much could pick their poison. We knew they wanted to do both things. And they came out and they kind of threw to establish the run. And Todd Haley said yesterday on Coordinator's Corner that the Bell drive of 10 carries was maybe his favorite drive in his career to watch, Le'Veon Bell. And he said, you know, Le'Veon Bell's not going to tap out. He said, if you keep doing it, we'll keep giving it to you. And the only thing he mentioned is he said it was a little disappointing to have the quarter end because that slows your momentum down a little bit. But obviously it didn't slow the Steelers' momentum down at all as you know, the only play that was kind of not a successful play was the play before they scored where Bell went 25 yards, got down to the one when they reviewed the play. And then he had a carry for no gain. And then he had a carry which they reviewed again for the touchdown. But maybe that makes the drive more epic. Instead of 8 carries, it was 10 carries straight for Bell. And they get the touchdown. So, Dave, what's the priority here or what do you think they do to set up the other? Do they run to set up the pass? Or do they pass to set up the run?
I think, look, I don't want Ben Roethlisberger throwing the football more than 22, 23 times in this game. I really don't. If you go and you look at not only the tape, but the statistics when you're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, opposing offenses, you know, their defense, David, was the most rushed on defense up the middle this season. Over half of the runs against that defense went up the middle for 3-something yards, okay? There's a reason people kept running up the middle, because it works. Their rush defense ranked towards the bottom of the league. When you look at their successful rush play rate against them, it's not good. It's something like 54% of the runs against them have been, and don't quote me on that number. It's in the 50s. It's higher, much higher than what it's supposed to be. And no, I do not have what it is league wide, but it's not great. 54, 55, 56% of the runs against them were successful runs. If you're not running against them, especially in these weather conditions, something's wrong with you. I run. So I guess more than anything, I run to maybe try to set up the pass. Is it okay to come out and open up with a quick, you know, pass or two? Absolutely, it is. But the Chiefs, I think, would be foolish to play a lot of too deep safety in this game because of the weather conditions and all like that. I want to force Ben Roethlisberger to beat me down the field. I want him holding the football as long as possible so I can get after him. So I can get guys like D Ford and Justin Houston and Tom Ali after him. So, you know, will the Steelers see a lot of 7-8 man fronts as a result? Probably. Will that probably result in Ben Roethlisberger having to check out of a few plays? Probably. But my mind is on trying to run this football as often as I can with Le'Veon Bell.
Okay, I'm with you on that. And so let's do what is my new favorite thing. Let's do paths to victory. So I spent some time on KC Radio yesterday with Soren Petro, and if anybody wants to hear that interview, it's about 20 minutes, and it's on my Facebook page, David Todd Show. But Dave, you know, we're talking about all the things you talk about that we discussed, but the path to victory for me for Kansas City is very simple. It's win the turnover battle. I feel like if the Steelers don't lose the turnover battle, not that they're guaranteed to win, but they're likely to win. That means Ben didn't have a bad day, which is a concern. Ben on the road for whatever reason. We've gone through it a million times without having any kind of concrete thing to point to why. So for the Chiefs, it's A, they got to be able to run the football a little bit. And with Tyreek Hill, maybe they have that capability, because it doesn't feel like Ware and West necessarily have that capability, although those guys did run reasonably effectively against the Steelers last year in Kansas City. So let's not ignore it. But with Hill, maybe they have more of that capability. And then they've got to get some splash plays. And as you pointed out, the Steelers took the Dolphins from 6-3 from their first meeting to the second. If the Steelers keep the Chiefs to, you know, three splash plays, as long as they're not, you know, 80-yard touchdowns, I feel pretty good about their chances.
Well, I mean, you know, we could point to turnovers in any game, you know, as a reason, but I think
I feel bigger in this one, but more important in this one, because the Chiefs are so effective with turnovers, and they turn it over so infrequently themselves.
Right, and Alex Smith doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. I wonder with that cold and rain and the narrative that Alex Smith has small hands, you know, you wonder how much that's going to play into this. Look, my biggest fear in this game, and look, I mean, this is a guy too that's only been sacked. What did I put up last night? Something like 15 times since the Steelers sacked him 4 times. Talking about Alex Smith. Alex Smith gets, you know, unless you get up on him, you know, and force a lot of third down and long situations, he's not going to hold the ball in the pocket, and you're not going to get him down on the ground. That's just the way it goes. You better stop their run early and get them in third down situations, because if you don't, he's not going to turn the football over. So knowing that, yeah, in my opinion, David, the Steelers are going to be lucky to get one turnover in this game. And if that's the case, if, let's say they get one, they better not turn it over 2 times theirself. You know, they can probably match turnovers with the Chiefs and get away with it. But if you let the Chiefs go 1 up or 2 up in, as it relates to the talk stat on top of that, probably not going to end well for the Steelers. And we just went over the points off of turnovers. And this is a very opportunistic. If you turn the football over, it better be damn well down deep in the Chiefs' own end. And I'm so worried about Roethlisberger in an errant pass or a tip pass or something like that. Run. Keep this. You know, try to force them to make the mistake in this. And when you talk about, I guess, get more into the X's and O's with the Chiefs. If I'm the Chiefs, I try to get the ball in the hands of Tyreek Hill as many times as I can. Jet sweeps, bubble screens, double reverses. As much as I can, I try to get the football in his hands.
Hard to argue with that logic. And you know, we talk about the turnover battle. One of the things is on paper, it's going to look like the Steelers, you know, won the turnover battle by 1 against the Dolphins. And for what, you know, all the ink that's been spilt and the words that have been said about Ben and the play call and being on the field late in the game, that was the second turnover. And yeah, I think we can say that was relatively inconsequential. So in terms of significance, the Steelers won that turnover battle. And let's not downplay that at all. Even though the Steelers scored on the first 3 drives, let's remember that first James Harrison strip sack was from the 7-yard line, and the game 20-6. And, you know, certainly psychologically, they score a touchdown there, things are very different. So, yeah, always a turnover battle. You know, what do you think of their two backs, their two other backs, you know, Ware and West? I mean, for those who just an update, Jamaal Charles, he's only played 8 games the past 2 years. He had 40 yards on 12 carries. There's a chance had the Chiefs not needed a roster spot. And again, this is where you credit Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert for being able to keep D'Angelo Williams and Darius Hayward Bay, carry them for, you know, as long as they did. He could have been back, but he's not. He had surgery on both menisci, if that's the right Latin term. He wants to play next year, but he'll be a free agent. Maybe he's the guy the Steelers go after. But what do you think of the other two backs, Dave?
I don't think they scare you a whole heck of a lot. I mean, this is a Chiefs team that you should be able to stop this run. Where I worry most about Ware and West and, of course, Tyreek Hill. If you know what? If I'm Andy Reid, and make no mistake, Andy Reid having a couple of weeks to prepare for this thing is a pretty big deal. We already talked about him off of the bye. And you know, if you give Andy Reid time to repair, he's going to come up with a couple of wrinkles or two. And if I'm Andy Reid, I go back and I look hard and heavy at that Philadelphia game, right? I mean,
sure, running the screen. And I mean, we saw Dallas run that same play that, you know, run some screens against the Steelers. That's certainly something I would expect to see on Sunday.
Right. Did you see on Twitter? I left a note to myself that look into, you know, make sure to look for the Steelers or the Chiefs in these misdirection screens. I do that. If I can get Tyreek Hill or Ware or West out in space on a misdirection screen or two, I like my chances, because as fast as the Steelers defense is now, you know, who knows? You slip on some of that wet turf or whatnot. The advantage always going to go to the offensive player in those situations there. So I think they've got to be ultra careful with these backs out of the backfield catching the football, because I'm trying – A, not only does that get that out of the hands of Alex Smith quickly, B, it gets it into the hands of some of your playmakers. And we've seen the Steelers struggle at times with guys out in space regardless of who's on the field. So that's one of the things that really scares me about this Chiefs offense. The other thing – Travis Kelce down the middle of the field. We're going to see it happen at some point. Is he going to be able to get loose on Shazier? Is he going to be able to get loose on Timmons? Who knows? You know, we haven't talked. It's been a few days since we talked about Justin Gilbert and whether or not he plays any defense. Do you think that we're going to see Justin Gilbert on defense this week?
I would like to hope that they see him 5 plays, but I'll go back to what you said Wednesday. I'd like it, but I doubt it.
I'm still in that category as well, too. And Keith Butler, when talking to Missy Matthews, not that you can read too much into it. It didn't come off as him thinking that was going to happen. So we'll see. And even if it does happen, even if we see Gilbert out there on, what did Mike Thomas say on Tuesday? We used him on possession downs.
G-tank. Yeah, I guess that means third. Yeah, they're all possession downs.
Right. I mean, and we saw him, I think, more than just possession downs. You know, obviously Mike Thomas talking about obvious pass situations, I would think there. So, you know, we'll see when it comes to. I tell you this, what's going to be a little bit different than maybe was in that first game. We'll probably see the Steelers, you know, not so much, you know, cover 3 as opposed to getting those. Why on earth would you not play your corners up quite a bit in this game?
Have to do it for all the reasons we talked about: bubble screens, wide receiver screens, slant routes. You know, run game. You know, if I tell Artie, don't be looking in the backfield, but I play Artie up and I play Cockrell, you know, a couple yards off the line of scrimmage. I might have Artie playing, you know, serious press. Now, again, you need to know where Tyreek Hill is so that if he gets off the line of scrimmage, you have somebody paying attention to him. But yes, I fully agree with that.
Because, you know, several reasons there. A, if you go back and look at the Philly game, you know, and stuff from earlier in the season, he's a rhythmic, Alex Smith is a rhythmic passer, you know, so.
Here's a stat for you, Dave. The two quarterbacks who led the league in release time, let's see if I can just get the exact numbers, but they were, whoever the backup is for the Chiefs, it's not Elvis Gerbeck. Who is it?
Is it Chase?
No, he's in Philadelphia.
I'm trying to remember who is their backup for him. Foles. Nick Foles.
Yeah, Nick Foles, right. So Nick Foles, he only had 55 pass attempts, so he wouldn't qualify, but he was 2.36, and Alex Smith, 2.38, out of the ball, got ball out of his hand faster than any quarterback in the NFL this year.
And
rhythmic three-step drop, get it out.
And that's not surprising, right? I mean,
right. He's not a 5-7 step drop guy.
And that's who Alex Smith is. I think prior to the game against the Chiefs the first time around, I went through and timed all of his snaps. I mean, it's going to be very rare for Alex Smith to hold on to the football for longer than 2.7 seconds. That's why I think the Steelers are going to be blessed if they get they got four sacks that last time, but how much did it play into that, the fact that the Steelers got up on them fairly quickly and, you know, got them into third and long situations? You absolutely have to get Alex Smith in some third and long situations. Here's the thing too. Look at the Chiefs' red zone scoring percentage. For the season, what, third last in the league, 45.45%. I mean, in other words, when they score, it's probably coming from outside of the red zone, right? So what does that mean? You better prevent those damn nasty explosive plays of theirs. I think Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce have roughly half of their explosive plays this year. You know, what do we talk about all the time for years and years when we talk about a Steelers defense? Stop the run, tackle the catch, don't get beat deep. If the Steelers can do those three things in this game, logic tells you that they, you know, they're probably going to win the game as long as they're not turning the football over here. Because the Chiefs, they and we've been talking about Chiefs doing this for a couple of years now. They let their defense keep them in games, and, you know, and they have. And Alex Smith just doesn't make mistakes on the other side of football.
Yes. I mean, you've got whether I don't look at this as a disparaging term. It is a descriptive term. You've got a game managing quarterback. You've got a big play defense, and you had an offense that was built around one of the best backs in football in Jamaal Charles, and it's evolved here to be built around a tight end who is as steady as they come, and now you've got an explosive playmaker. I'm sure they would wish they had a better running game right now than they've shown, because it hasn't, you know, the difference here is, you know, if you want me to pick a football aspect, that's the difference is, the Steelers, with Stephon Tuitt in the lineup, have been great stopping the run, and they've been able to run the ball. And the Chiefs have not been great stopping the run, and they haven't been able to run the ball. And this is, you know, we talk about the regular season, and it's a passing league, blah, blah, blah. You get this time of year, you get weather issues, running the football, stopping the run. I'm not going to say that's the determining factor, but it is a much more significant factor when you talk about what's going to come up weather-wise on Sunday. And I think, Dave, that is going to be the difference in the game.
Well, look, and we've seen, several times. Has the Steelers' run defense been good overall this year? Yes.
Erratic.
Yeah, overall, the numbers dictate. You know, you talk about successful run play rates and all like that. The Steelers are around, 44, 45% only allowing that successful run play rate. But we have seen at times this year some teams just flat out run on them, and that simply can't happen. We can't have those missed tackles. We can't have those Ryan Shazier had him in the backfield for minus 2 yards, and a running back got 7 yards.
Exactly.
You just can't.
David, that's a great point, because I think it'll be really interesting to see how Shazier attacks this line of scrimmage. Is he going to do that? Or, when you were talking about it Wednesday, you talked about, you got to contain Hill. So do you spend more time being gaps assignment sound, or do you still try to make those big plays? I mean, do you tell Shazier at all to dial that back a little bit?
Well, you don't want to,
Yeah, you don't want to take the aggressiveness away.
Right. What is Mike Tomlin? I was looking for this should just roll off my tongue, but it doesn't. I'd rather say whoa than sick'em.
Right.
Now if Ryan Shazier was sidelined from this game and Vince Williams was in there, I'd rather say sick him than whoa. No, I'd still rather say whoa with him, because a few times we've seen Williams try to pull off Ryan Shazier type gap explosion plays and backs past him. That happened in that first meeting against the Miami Dolphins. I hate to keep stressing this. We've talked about it for a few weeks now, but Ryan Shazier obviously didn't play in that game against the Dolphins, right? He didn't play in the game against the Chiefs the first time around. Sean Davis didn't play in that game against the Chiefs the first time around. Those are two big pieces of the puzzle. Yes, Cameron Hayward.
And throw Bud Dupree in there.
Yeah, Bud Dupree and James Harrison, while he played a lot of snaps, he didn't. He wasn't your every down outside linebacker, so – there's a lot of things pointing to the Steelers that makes it even more favorable for the way they handled that Chiefs offense the first time around. But you got to do it again. You got to do it again. And, when it comes to the Steelers offense, David, like I said, you try to get the hand, you try to get the football in the hands of your playmaker. You got the killer bees in the playoffs for the first time. We saw how effective that was last week. Your killer bees have got to be able to do it for you, because I don't, and look, we can talk. Yeah, it'd be nice to talk about Eli Rogers, 2 or 3 catches in this game, yada, yada. Kobe Hamilton, a key third down reception. I don't think those are the guys that are going to win the game for you. I think it's going to be your killer bees. I think Brown, Bell, Roethlisberger, they're going to have great games. And Bell needs, 140, 150 total yards once again, I think, yards from scrimmage. And I think he can do that. I think you got to look for him not only as a ball carrier, I think you got to get the ball in his hands 6-7 times out of the backfield, because rest assured the Chiefs are going to be trying to do the same thing when they have the football, getting the football in the hand of Ware, West, Hill. And, we've talked a lot about that offense, David. They got guys like Macklin, Conley. I loved Conley coming out of Georgia. Wilson. These are all guys. The Black Mamba. These are all guys. And if he's healthy, and active, these are guys that are all can take it 80 yards to the house on you.
No doubt. Defensively, look, they're going to miss Derek Johnson. It looks like we haven't talked about the backers, but Houston and Ali practiced full yesterday. So I don't know that they'll play every, they're going to mix and match some. But, Houston, I would expect now to play most of the snaps. Would you go with that thought?
I'm not willing to go most, because, the last time he played in a football game was against the Tennessee Titans. And he played 50-something snaps in that game. I'm not, more than Holly, I don't know. That split could go either way, but I'll put it to you this way. I will be shocked if Houston plays 50-something snaps, because there's really, in my opinion, there's no reason to when you can rotate him with Holly. And let's face it, both those guys haven't been great this year, David. Houston and Holly.
Right. Houston made a big splash in the game against Denver when he got back, but hadn't done a lot since then.
The guy that scares me is Dee Ford. You know, wherever he lines up on the other side, that's the guy that scares me. To be quite honest with you, I run right at Holly in Houston. I run right at him.
Right over the Steelers' right side.
Which is generally, usually where those guys line up. Now, occasionally, I think you will see them on the other side there. Alejandro Villanueva against a guy like Dee Ford. That's a matchup to watch. Marcus Gilbert on the other side has handled speed rushers fairly well. They'll get in those wide nine situations on you. And rush those guys from the edge, and you got to be careful at times when that happens. But if they widen out like that, I'm running. You bet your ass I'm running if they want to go wide like that. And there's no reason why Bell shouldn't have success in this game. Running to football, one would think.
Okay, Steeler fans. Sometimes the mortgage process can be a bit daunting. And if that's the case for you, you should let our buddy Craig Oxane help you out. Craig is a nationally recognized lender and a lifelong Steeler fan who's looking to help out Terrible Podcast listeners. I'm pulling up Craig's ad here. I said all our listeners had it memorized. I do not have it memorized. The phone number memorized off the top of my head, but. Craig, as I mentioned, he's a lifelong Steeler fan. Love to help you out. Score the home of your dreams, even in Kansas City. And this weekend, it's going to be a little messy in Kansas City. And if you're considering buying, refinancing a home now or in the future, please give our buddy Craig a call. He's an experienced, nationally recognized lender who can help you achieve the dream of home ownership. You can call Craig today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. Email Craig at craig@blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. Company, NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, First Advantage Mortgage, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. All right, Dave, we should get to our picks. We've been moving along here and hitting the 1 hour mark, so time to get to it. I think I'm still one up on you. We don't have many games left to go. We got seven left on the season, so we'll alternate picking first here, and I'll give you the choice on game one. We'll just go in order of the calendar, the clock that, as it goes, and it's obviously NFC game, Seattle and Atlanta. This game's in Atlanta. We know the difference that Earl Thomas has made not being available for that defense. It's really, you know, Atlanta's high-flying offense, and they're not great defense against the Seattle team that hasn't been great on the road. With Russell Wilson, you want to pick first in this one, or you want to pick second?
Yeah, I'll go first. Yeah, look, Matt Ryan.
The Falcons are -5 at home.
Yeah, and that's about right, I think, in this one. Playing in Atlanta here, Matt Ryan's been fantastic this season. Their defense at times has been able to get after the quarterback. The Seahawks' offensive line has been shaky. Their secondary, their tackling at times have been shaky as well too. You know, I think for name recognition, a lot of people are going to jump on Seattle here plus those points. I think this is Atlanta's time to punch it in here, and I think the fans of that team should be very disappointed if they don't. I'll take Atlanta and I'll lay those 5 points.
Believe it or not, Dave, I'm going to go with you. I think most people would have thought maybe that I wouldn't get on Matt Ryan here, but. I think it'll be something like, I think they'll score the points. And I don't know, 34 to 24 or something like that. Still not sold on Seattle's offensive line. Thomas Rawls had a big game for sure. They've been able to do some good stuff. CJ Prosser, whatever his name is, the kid from ND, could be back this game. It'll be a game time decision. They signed the fullback who's been, they were able to work him in right away in that game against Detroit. As a lead blocker, something new. So we're seeing some different things. Seattle's kind of adjusting a bit on the fly, and give Pete Carroll good credit for that. But I'll take the Falcons as well. The Texans go to New England, Dave, and I want to find a way to take 15 points because 15 points in a playoff game is extraordinary. I'll bet there weren't – I'm not sure there was a game, and I'm sure there weren't five this year where the point spread was 15 or higher. The reason is – The reason is if the defense plays reasonably well and holds New England to even, you know, let's say 27 points, hold them to 27 points. I mean, it's tough to keep NFL teams in single digits, which is almost what has to happen to cover that line. So as crazy as it sounds, Dave, I'm actually going to take the points. I think New England wins the game. I don't necessarily expect it to be a close game, but Brock was a little bit better. I'm a little bit less sold on than most people on New England's defense. They are the best scoring defense, but by Football Outsiders ranking, they're just about average in the league. They've played the worst. You look at the list of quarterbacks they've played in the second half of the season, and it's a list that goes from Colin Kaepernick to Bryce Petty. I mean, and Matt Moore and everybody, you know, they have not played any good quarterbacks. They're not going to play one this week. I'm not suggesting that they're getting it, but I just think their defense might be a little overblown, something to keep in mind. If the Pats win and the Steelers win, I'll take the 15.
Well, here, I'm showing it listed 16 across the board. You sure we can't get that extra point there?
But if you want to use 16, I'll take the extra point. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm showing 16 in a lot of places here, David.
Okay, I got a 15 in mind, but let's go 16. So I still will take 16.
Yeah, and I will take 16 as well, too, for a lot of reasons. Look, Houston's defense isn't bad. I don't expect them to upset the Patriots. I'm not going that way at all. Boy, the Patriots sure have burned me a couple times this year with those large point spreads. It, of course, is in Foxborough. I'm not a fan of Osweiler and all that. The only saving grace here is I'm you know, I like what the Texans defense has done at times this year, and I think if they can keep Tom Brady, you know, under 27 or under points, 16 points is a lot of points. So
yeah.
I like the Patriots to win this, you know, by more than a touchdown. But I'm with you. I'll take those 16 points.
All right, Dallas 4.5 point favorite over the Pack. Who you got?
Wow. I just the Green Bay's got so many injuries. Dallas, they can run the football. They should be able to run the football at will. The difference, though, David, when you get into these playoffs, is sometimes quarterbacks and play of the defense. Aaron Rodgers has been money at times this year. I mean, absolutely money. I think Green Bay can win this on the road. If they can somehow manage to stop the run, I know that's a tall task. I think they can win this on the road. So give me Green Bay plus those points.
Yeah, Rodgers' numbers over the last since the halfway point of the season have been extraordinary. There's no reason to pick Green Bay with their defense and Dallas' run game, but I'm going to take them too. 4.5 points, I like it. Like you, I think they can win the – I think the winner of this game will be in the Super Bowl. So this is a huge game in that respect. I think Green Bay would have to they both have to go to Dallas, and they would both host Seattle. So I think they can both win in Dallas, and I think they can both beat Seattle at home. So I'll take the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, and I think I had Steelers Packers in the Super Bowl to start the season. So that stays on line with me. So Dave, that brings us to our game, and the line I've used this week is if the Steelers, you know, if the turnover battle is not significantly in the Steelers' favor, I think they're the better team. I think they win this game. I get more encouraged as the week goes on. I love where the Steelers' defense is. Ross Cockrell made a couple mistakes in that game against Miami, but I Miami's receiving corps is much more talented than Kansas City's. He's not going to be covering Travis Kelce. They'll have guys on Kelce. Keep him under control. Keep him under control. I expect the Steelers' offense to be really good again. So I had a closer score earlier in the week, but I'm going to have the Steelers comfortably winning this game. And maybe it's a late touchdown that makes it comfortable. But 27-17, the Steelers win this one double digits.
You're going to make me be the bad guy, aren't you?
Apparently.
David, I just... There's a lot of reasons to be optimistic in this game, and there's a few to be reasons to be scared to death. There's something about Tyreek Hill that just bothers me in this game, and for good reason. We already spent a lot of time talking about that. The fact that I don't think the Steelers are going to be able to sack Alex Smith, you know, four times in this game, even if they get a turnover, force Alex Smith to throw an interception, I can't see him throwing more than one. Ben Roethlisberger has struggled at times on the road this year. There is going to be a game changing play, I think, in this game that has us really talking about, damn, if this didn't happen, you know, yada yada. I've got a bad feeling about this one. I'll play bad guy and hope I'm wrong. I think Tyreek Hill manages to score once, maybe twice in this game. I think Kelce has a big pass play over the middle. I think the Steelers turn the ball over one too many times in this game. I think the Chiefs win this, David. I have it 23-21 Chiefs. The Steelers get their 21 the hard way. There's a two-point conversion involved in there. Let's hope I have a wrong read, wrong feeling on this one. So I'll let you be the good guy. So on Monday, if the Steelers win, you can say, well, I told you the Steelers are going to win this one. And I'll cover the backside on us with the prediction here.
All right. Fair enough. And we'll obviously, Charlie and I have the post game for you immediately following the game. And hopefully we're not wrapping up the season. Hopefully we're pointing toward what likely is to be Foxborough. It would be miraculous if the Steelers are pointing toward a Heinz Field AFC Championship game against the Texans. That would be the dream scenario, Dave. So we'll find out soon enough.
Yeah. So what's the narrative that the Steelers lost this game? What is it because missed tackles and Roethlisberger?
Turnovers. No doubt for me, it's a turnover game, which likely, since they've only fumbled it away NFL low three times this year, likely means interceptions.
All right. Well, here's today, Brian, reading this game entirely wrong. You can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot and get mad at me and tweet at me all like that and tell me people who are cream puffs and that those kind of things. You can follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate to the show, you can do so by going to SteelersDepot.com, find that donate button, upper right navigational bar. Sorry for running over this week, but we had a lot to get to here. David, have a great weekend. Get us out of here.
As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.